إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, today we are going through all kinds of difficulties as Muslims, both in this country as well as globally everywhere. And especially in this country, there is an election that is going to happen in Karnataka now on the 12th, and after that two more states, and then next year in the whole country. And there are all kinds of schemes and all kinds of well-intentioned people who are sending out messages that we must vote like this and we must vote like that, and we must make sure that we have so many seats, and if that does not happen, and if the BJP gets a majority in both houses of parliament, then our goose is cooked and we will be toast and we will be history, and so on and so on and so on, and all kinds of Now, I am not criticizing any of that. I am not saying that that is all false. The people who are speaking about this, alhamdulillah, they have good intentions, and in so much as what they are saying in terms of the seats and in terms of the intentions of the BJP and RSS and so on, all of this is true. But one very major factor which I believe as Muslims we are ignoring, and if someone wants to challenge that and say we are not ignoring it, then you must show me where that factor has been mentioned. Because if you say you are not ignoring something, then it should be visible somewhere, right? And that factor is, where does Allah come into this equation? And why must Allah come into this equation? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned politics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the rule of people in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the reality of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Say that my Allah, Malik al-Mulk, he owns the land. Which land? India, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Afghanistan, which land? The land. He owns the earth. He owns this single planet which is less than a grain of sand on a beach, and he owns the whole beach. And he owns the entire universe and all that we know and all that we don't know. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. And he will give this mulk, and he will give this land, this whole land or a part of this land, to whoever he wishes for them to rule on it. And he will take it away from whoever he wishes who is currently ruling on it. تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. And he will give izzat, and he will give honor, and he will give influence, and he will give political power, and he will give temporal authority, and he will give wealth, and he will give control to whoever he wishes. And he will take it away, and he will make those people dhaleel, and he will defeat them, and he will make them as if they never existed, whoever he wishes. تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ. And in your hand there is khair. إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And O Allah, you are able to do anything you wish, and everything that exists is in your control. Now, this ayat of Suratul Ali Imran, we recite it so many times, and we know this. And this ayat and the one after that, the last two ayat of Suratul Hashr, the last two ayat of Suratul Baqarah, and these things are very popular ayat, if I can use the term, which almost everybody knows. Right? We all know these ayat, we recite them, we know the meaning and so on. The point is, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Now this ayat of قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ to the end where I recited it, this is not referring to Jannah. This ayat is not referring to the akhirah. This ayat is referring to this dunya. Right? And when Allah say, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I give it to who I want and I take it away from who I want, He is talking about political power. So now, what is the basis on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives and will give political authority and take it away? What is the basis? Because Allah is not saying, randomly Allah will do this just for the fun of it, just to see how you dance. No, He's not doing it. Just to torture you, He's not doing this. There is a basis on which this is done. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very clearly, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put two conditions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, people who have iman and people who do good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who are Muslim, men or women, if they have iman and if they are on the haqq and if they are doing good deeds, which means that they are establishing the they are establishing justice on the earth and they are establishing the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them khilafat on this world. Allah will give them the rule of the land. Right? So my point is, now we are talking about, so many seats and so many votes and so on and so forth. All of which is fine. Alhamdulillah, as I said, I have no quarrel with any of that. My point is, where is the mention being made here of iman and amal salih? Where are we saying to the Muslims that, yes, please vote and do this and do that, but look at your aqaid. Are you on the aqidah of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, or have you taken this aqidah and you have corrupted it and you have brought shirk into this and you have brought bid'at into this and you have brought all your personal desires and Allah knows what into your aqidah? Have you done this? If you have done this, then it is necessary for you, first and foremost, before you go to the voting booth and the polling booth and this seat and that seat and this arrangement and that arrangement, it is necessary for you first to clean your aqidah and to purify your aqidah and to make sure that you are on the aqidah of Tawheed, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Who is saying to the Muslims that before you go and vote here and vote there and don't vote for this one and don't vote for that one, you must look at your amal, you must look at your deeds, you must look at your muamilat, you must look at your akhlaq, you must look at your dealings with people, you must look at your own behavior, your own manners. You must look at your muashira, you must look at Muslim society, you must look at what is happening inside your house. And you must look at what is happening within your families. You cannot be living a life where you are openly disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, where you have marriages in which there is shirk and haram, where you have marriages in which there are gana parties, where there are marriages in which you are taking dowry, where there are marriages in which you are doing all kinds of israf and all kinds of fuzul kharch and all kinds of ostentation and all kinds of show-off, where you are oppressing people, right? We are doing this on a daily basis. You cannot have a situation where you are sitting in the box in Malakpet in the race course and betting on horses and considering this to be a mark of honor that you are a great man in society because you have a membership of the box. You cannot be members of clubs which are established for the practice of haram. You cannot make excuses for all of this to yourself. You cannot be lying and cheating. You cannot be deceiving people. You cannot be oppressing your neighbors. Huh? You can't be doing all these things. You cannot be doing all these things and then expect that because you vote for this one and not vote for that one and do this and that and this jugaad in the elections, that you will win an election. You will not win an election. I will take it from me in writing. I ask Allah to be my witness. Unless Muslims correct their aqidahs and unless Muslims correct their amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu will not give you Muslims hukumat, will not give you influence, will not give you the rule of this land or any land. And you will be condemned to live the life of slaves. Take my word for it. I remember in the, I was a little kid at that time, the Yom Kippur War, between Israel and the rest of the Arab world. And Egypt was the, Gamal Abdel Nasser was the president of Egypt, and Egypt was at the forefront of the so-called Muslim forces. And I remember, I was sitting with my sheikh at that time, and I was a little kid. And somebody came and they said to him, Hazrat, dua farmaiye ke musalmano ko fata ho. He said, make dua that Muslims must get victory. And in the conversation, they mentioned the speech that Gamal Abdel Nasser made, where he was speaking to the army, to the Egyptian army, and he said that we are the people of the pharaohs of Egypt. We are the inheritors of the greatest civilization that existed, and so on and so forth. Right? And they said that this war, they said most likely it will happen, and it was like, you know, the next day or something, which was Yom Kippur, which is the day of fasting for the Jews. So they said most likely this war will happen then, and they said that the Jews will be fasting. So my sheikh says to them, the Jews will win. He said Israel will win this war. So everyone was very surprised. They said, how does this man say this, and he's saying it with so much authority? Is he getting some wahi or something? How is he saying that Israel will win this war? I mean, now we know it is history. Israel did win that war. In one, you know, fell swoop, they wiped out the entire air force of Egypt. And that was the end of the story. But my point is that when my sheikh made this statement, Hazrat Noori Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, it sounded like a very unreasonable statement. How can he say this? So they asked him, they said, Sheikh, how do you say this? He said, baat saaf hai, jab Musa ki aur Firaun ki ladai hogi, to Musa jitenge. He said, jab Musa ki aur Firaun ki ladai hogi, to Musa hi jitenge. He said, here is Gamal Abdel Nasser saying we are the descendants of pharaohs. And there is the Israelis who are fasting on Yom Kippur. So my question is, where does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come into this equation that today we are talking about this election and that election, and next year we'll be talking about the general election, and whether the BJP and RSS will be able to capture both the houses of parliament, and whether the constitution will be changed or not changed. Believe me, this world belongs to Allah. This world does not belong to BJP, it does not belong to RSS, it does not belong to Jamaat Islami, it does not belong to Tablighi Jamaat, it does not belong to you, it does not belong to me. This world belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And He will give it to who He wants. And when the Muslims corrupt their religion, and they corrupt their amal, they corrupt their deeds, and they refuse to change, and they will not change their ways, then believe me, you can make mansubas, and you can make jugards, and you can make plans, and you can make schemes. Till the day of judgment, you will not win. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu has two different sets of criterion for winning and losing. One for the Muslims and one for the non-Muslims. Allah does not judge them both equally. For the Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts Iman wa amalu salih, number one criterion of winning and losing. Number one criterion of victory and defeat. For the non-Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts good governance, He puts honesty, He puts integrity. And those criteria for them, because Iman and Amal Salih is not there, If they die on their faith, then in the Akhirah, they have Jahannam forever. So for them, there is a different situation. But for the Muslims, we have, in addition to good governance and in addition to honesty and integrity, we have the foundation of that, which is Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu, and Amalu Salih, which is good deeds, which are for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we Muslims are in a state where we cannot even come to the masjid for Salatul Fajr. We cannot come to the masjid where the masjid is literally a stone's throw from your house. Literally, if you throw a pebble, it will fall in the masjid. But you are fast asleep in your bed, you do not come for Salatul Fajr. And you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the rule of this world to somebody who cannot even wake up in the morning for two rakat of Salatul Fajr. Who are we fooling? Who are we fooling? Yeah? Who are we fooling? So I say to you, and I say to myself, and I say to all these people making speeches and sending out WhatsApp messages and whatnot, by all means, please do all of those things. But number one, when you speak to Muslims, and especially when you speak to yourself, go stand in the mirror and say, change your ways. Because if you do not change your ways, believe me, there is only darkness, there is only slavery, there is only oppression in your qadar till the day you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot win. Take my word for it. You cannot win. Because Allah said so. I'm not saying it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu said so. This world belongs to my Rabb, and He will give it to who He wants, and He gives it to the one He loves, not to the one we love. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to give us the sense to understand this basic fundamental thing and to correct our ways and to bring our lives in line with what He wishes for us. Then inshallah al-musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us influence, He promised us authority, He promised us political power, He promised us temporal authority, and He promised us also in the Akhirah Jannah. The promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, as I mentioned yesterday and a million times before, the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu are all completely and totally true, and those promises are all conditional. They are conditional upon our actions. There is no promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which says, you do whatever you want as long as your name is Mirza Yaver Beg or Abdul Rahman or Zafar Ansari, you will be the king. No way. No way. You will be a slave and you will live the life of a slave unless you make yourself a true slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to give us the sense to understand this, to turn our lives around and to stop living like zombies and morons, and then expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us victory. Victory is for the ibadur rahman. Victory is for the ibad, for the slaves of ar-Rahman, not for anybody else. And if the ibadur rahman are not going to change their ways, then victory is for the one with the biggest guns, the one with the biggest money, the one with the biggest authority. This is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah does not give Muslims victory on the basis of temporal and political power and authority, on the basis of money, on the basis of weapons, on the basis of nuclear power or any other basis. Allah gives them victory on the basis of Iman, faith and good deeds, Amalu Salih, where they spread goodness all around them. When Muslims do not do that, they cannot and they will not get victory. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman.